Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 819 for the week of July 18th, 2026. Chris Privateer here bringing you this week's show along with Kelly Ryan.
Wrangling cats figuratively and literally.
And Josh Carpenter.
I'm back from the mountains.
Hey, you were in the Alps?
Yes.
Where did you go? Just all over Europe?
No, just Switzerland, a little bit of Italy. So I stayed in the Alps.
Listeners, you should be thankful. You didn't have to sit through the slideshow this morning.
No, it was interesting.
But it was straight up like the stereotypical. You ever watch the old Garfield cartoons? They would complain about this joke a lot in those. Someone went on a trip and then they make you sit down for their giant 3-hour slide presentation.
Yeah.
It was not 3 hours.
I know, because it doesn't take as long now, and we had to start a show, and I stopped you.
I
do the same thing. I take like thousands of pictures when I go on a giant vacation to fancy looking place like that, and then
I forget to take pictures, or when I take pictures, it's of stupid stuff like anime Bishonen Aquaman in a Japanese video store.
Mm.
Well, the real problem with this trip was that there were a couple of different cruises on lakes, and you're just sitting there on a boat with a camera and in a window, and it's like, what else am I going to do but
nothing.
Take photos of
take
everything?
Photos. Yeah, so
exactly.
3,000 photos later, you're like, oh, hey, I got to process all these. I'll get right
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
10 years later, just archive them. Space is cheap now. If I need any of them, I'll go through it then.
Well, yeah, what's even funnier is I used to be like, I am going to be a real photographer and bring my real photography camera to these places. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
I actually do that.
The battery is dead and it's too unwieldy. And it's like, no, I should have just went with my phone. It's so much easier.
Best camera is the one you have, right?
Yeah.
But like also bring the fancy camera for a trip like that. Like you make accommodations for it.
I do a lot, and I did that when we went on our honeymoon, because one of the places we went to on our honeymoon was Big Cat Rescue in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I got all sorts of cool pictures from there, but it's like, this camera is heavy and unwieldy.
Yep.
I prefer my phone.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's a reason that the camera industry is kind of dead.
Yeah.
Except for
professionals. There's only a handful of Yahoos who still do that.
Yeah.
I got
a lot of good pictures though.
I don't need to, but I would like to refresh my camera at some point. Like I still have an F mount lens. I have a DSLR, and that's like not what we do anymore. Now we do full frame or 4/3 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And direct exposure instead of the mirror stuff. But I don't have one of those. And so I'm a little behind the times. But like Kelly points out, I don't kind of need much other than my camera. My phone.
Well, I got a Micro Four Thirds one.
That's
because it's smaller.
Oh, is it?
Because not a very big camera. The problem being though that I end up like if you use like smaller lenses, like it's very small and lightweight and such. But the problem is like usually I'm like wandering around a city, and so I take the one lens that has both wide angle as well as zoom, and then that thing weighs more than the camera does. It's big and bulky, so you know.
Wide angle and zoom.
It goes from like 12 millimeters to 200, so you get a little bit of both.
I was like, okay, I'm used to like a 50 to 200, not a 12 to 200. That's must be expensive.
It wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It is convenient for being like, I don't have to swap lenses. You know, I can do wide angle. I can zoom in on something.
The versatility is great, and the quality goes down a little for that versatility, but it should all be great compared to a phone. But like, if it's super heavy.
Yeah, it does.
Remember,
cut
you
in
did,
a little bit.
You picked that to be more portable.
I know.
And it ends up not feeling that way to you, then it didn't work.
I know.
Anyway, this isn't a camera cast.
Well,
is it not?
I guess it could be.
One more thing to add, because another interesting tidbit while we was cleaning out my mother-in-law's apartment was that we found a couple of film cameras.
Ooh.
And I'm like, is there even places to get regular film?
Oh yeah.
Oh, there is.
Yes. Oh god. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a niche hobby thing now. Yeah. So like people are doing that. And you can buy like old film, and then I don't know where the new film comes up from, but I know people who want film are getting film somehow.
Yeah.
Because I know this film is probably like the 90s or.
Yeah. That film might not be great anymore. I don't know. But you should also research the camera and make sure it's not worth money. Because the vintage stuff, if it's a good quality thing, they actually become in demand because they're not made anymore.
Huh. Yeah, even if they weren't like super expensive back in the day, some of them still are. Like there are people
like if it's the popular model that everyone knows and wants that all their shit fits on. Yeah,
we'll have to look into that, Vaughn, because I don't want to keep the film camera. I'm long past that nostalgia.
Yeah, my friend who does film camera stuff likes to do it as a hobby. So like they do the developing themselves too. So that's kind of who it's for, really.
Yeah, you know, it's like the CRT thing with retro gamers.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that. I'm glad I brought that up because it'd be nice
100% a thing.
Yeah. Recoup some of this cost. But you're right. We're not a camera cast. We're a cat cast.
Yeah,
cat
you got cast, a new kitty to replace, not to replace, but now that there, I don't know how to. It just feels.
Succeed.
I can't say it without it sounding bad, Kelly.
We always call them successors.
Okay.
Because Alice was the successor to Ozzy, and Frankie is the successor to Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And Vivi is the successor to Jack, so Sanji is the successor to Zoro.
Okay. Do they inherit, like, previous superpowers or something?
No.
Just like My Hero Academia? Okay.
No, just titles?
Yeah.
Lord of the Living Room?
Yeah, because
does it come with a land grant?
I mean, they can certainly take over the favorite bed, but
somebody got in trouble for trying to like sniff the other one's paw the other day. It was
that was that video that I posted in our private Discord. Mm-hmm. Alice was trying to sleep, and he kept bothering her, just got pissed and just walloped him. And it's like, you deserve that. If you would have just laid down and left her alone, she would have been fine with you. But he also deserved that because he nearly bit my finger off an hour before that.
Oh.
You ever see those videos of a kitten going full feral over like a chicken breast?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sanji went full feral over an omelet. And tried to yank it off my plate. And when I tried to stop him, he decided to bite my finger. And oh my God, I thought Vaughn was going to have to take me to the emergency room because of how hard he bit. I've never been bitten that bad by a cat.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a faux bite to try and get you to back off. This was, I'm going to fight you to the death for this omelet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I luckily fended him off, and I'm going to have to keep the water bottle around because he's going to have to learn that he can't be doing that crap. But I forgave him. I don't know why he's food aggressive. He might have had some food issues before he came to us. He tries to swallow chewer tubes. Like, you know, a normal cat, when you give them a churu, they just kind of lick the end of it very calmly. No, he tries to, like, eat the whole thing.
That's what
like
Eclipse does. She will chew all up and down the tube, and, like, she wants the sensation of the tube bleeding out into her mouth because she is a savage monster.
Yeah, so in order to trim his nails, we had to put the churu juice in a spoon. So that he figured out very quickly that he can't bite the spoon, it has to be a metal spoon, it can't be a plastic spoon. But he figured out very quickly that he doesn't like the sensation of the metal on his teeth, so that's what got him to slow down enough to lick the churu so that I could trim his little kitten nails, because his little kitten nails are like surgical needles.
Yeah, they're tiny. They'll go right in.
And they hurt, and I get a text message from Vaughn. It's like, we need to do claws right now. I'm like, okay, I will drop what I'm doing and do claws. And Trails from Daybreak will just have to wait until tomorrow because it's almost bedtime. that was at the time anyway.
How has Trails from Daybreak been going for you?
I'm on chapter 3 right now, where I think I'm in the Trails version of Dubai.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like you go into this desert town, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be like all sandy villages, and oh, this huge hotel that you go to looks just like one of the Dubai hotels.
Yeah, it's like Dubai, Las Vegas, and Hollywood kind of wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of neat seeing what the real world equivalent is, and characters being fascinated by things called orbital movies.
My.
I feel like Kiseki kind of falls into this middle ground where it wants to be a modern RPG like a Shin Megami Tensei, but still needs to have some of this old-timey stuff to justify using swords. I don't know what you...
It tries to, like, kind of, like, blend... not dissimilar from Final Fantasy. Like, why do people still use swords in Final Fantasy, even when, you know, some of, like, Final Fantasy VII, where they have guns? Mm. I don't know, because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like I was saying last week, but telling you, Joss, since you have context, I'm amused by the fact that Van loves his truck and was mad at the one Jaeger that yeeted his truck at a monster and destroyed it.
Van, how are you liking the characters in this? I loved Van and his little group of misfits.
I love Van just... especially when he said, you guys are really cramping my lone wolf thing going here. and the other characters that are like with the girl whose name I'm blanking on right now, Elise.
Yeah.
Being like, you're corrupting her, you stupid Spriggan. And she's like, I work for him, on my own accord. He doesn't make me work for him. Hmm. Which I find kind of funny. And seeing a certain purple haired girl show up, who I knew who it was instantly when she started talking about tea parties.
She's all grown up now.
Yeah. Yeah, that is amazing. And trying to see her connection with Van, because apparently they've known each other for quite some time.
Okay, so you haven't gotten that part of the backstory yet.
Yeah.
They give it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just need to keep playing. I boot it up and then I get distracted by stuff and don't get nearly as far as I would have liked to. And, you know, I get annoyed at how talky the side quests are.
Yeah, you know, it's Trails. I mean, that's par for the course.
Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and picked up Daybreak 2 since I think Best Buy had it on sale for like $40. Just pick it up so that I can continue it whenever we decide to do another probably do a Kiseki Christmas next year with Daybreak 2 and Horizon or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been trying to spend most of my time with, though I might take a small break from it when Sky and Bayhem comes out this week. But the only other thing I've been playing is Strange Antiquities. You guys didn't listen to last week. I picked up a 2-pack for the Switch with Strange Antiquities and Strange Horticulture. And if you look up the cover of this 2-pack, you'll see why I bought it. Basically, both games have a cat in it.
Oh, no. Okay.
Strange Antiquities.
Oh, there's a cat right on the logo. Yeah.
Yep. In Strange Horticulture, the cat's just kind of there as a set dressing. And it's a game. It's kind of a mystery game where you're identifying plants. And you're in this kind of gothic town where there's a cult going on in the background, and you have to give certain plants to certain characters will request plants, and sometimes you have the option to give them like a plant that'll increase their strength or a plant that'll weaken them, and that kind of ties into the ending later in the game where this cult summons this monster, and you can either choose to stop the monster or choose to, you know, become the leader of the cult. And there's a bunch of different endings. Strange Antiquities is the sequel, and it's much more in depth. Where you're at, yeah, you're literally identifying items for people. And there's a lot more to identifying the items than identifying plants. Because, like, you get a book for symbology where you have to, like, look for, they'll describe an item that, like, say they want an item to be able to hear better. And you'll look up in your little book, like, okay, this item has a certain gemstone that represents hearing. And this item has this gemstone, so okay, that's probably what it is. And they start introducing these elements, and trying to identify the items gets much more complicated as the game goes on, where it's like, okay, I've got to put it on this lens that shows what kind of resonance field it has, and then I've got to look up the type of resonance field. And it sounds so complicated when I'm describing it, but it really makes me feel like an actual an antique dealer that's like doing all this research trying to find items for people. And the cat actually kind of plays a part in the game, because if you every time you guess wrong, you'll have this fear meter go up, and when the fear meter reaches its limit, you have to play a dice rolling mini game, or else your mind will break. And you have to roll these dice in a specific way, so that how do I explain it? You roll these dice so that you get certain symbols showing up, so that you can basically free yourself from the mind break. But if the dice come up as X's, you'll get strikes against you. And like if you roll three X's, and you're rolling five dice, and if you roll three X's, it'll be an instant game over. Well, I don't know if this is a mechanic or not, but several times it's come up three X's, and a cat's paw has shot into this frame and batted at the dice.
Oh, to make it better or to make it worse?
Yeah, basically kind of kept me from getting an instant game over.
Yay, good kitty.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, every single in-game day I go ahead and pet the cat because he's right there. And why wouldn't I pet the cat if he's right there? And I need to look this up. I'm not sure if petting the cat makes him kind of help you in the dice mini game, or if it's just something that happens at random. But I thought that was kind of an interesting take, because in Strange Horticulture, the cat was just kind of there. You could kind of click on it and it would act like you was petting it, but not really. In this game, when you click on it, it makes a hand, and the cat makes a "I'm being petted" face. So you can pet the cat, and the cat seems to help you.
That's cute.
And Strange Antiquities, the cat's name is Jupiter, and he even has a profile page, Jupiter the Devourer of Souls.
Perfect.
Or something like that.
So the pet is a demigod or something.
Yeah.
Great.
But this would definitely be an Andy game because of the kind of adventure gambling. But I don't know how much Andy would like, you know, identifying strange items to give to customers.
I don't know. Like, it's not hidden object. It's just
no research.
And identify.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he'd like that.
And on occasion you get, well, like in Strange Horticulture, you only had the one map to contend with, and you get
The vibe, like the workflow vibe, is kind of like Papers, Please, right? So
yeah.
So he loved that.
Yeah, because you only ever see the one screen with the your little antique desk and the cupboards, and you've got the books to look through, and you get maps. I know Horticulture, you only had the one map, and they would give you clues to go find new plants on the map. And Antiquities, you get three different maps to play around with. You get little clues to, like, go here, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I always feel really smart when I figure out the map clues, but also really dumb when I'm sitting there like, what could they possibly mean with this? I am utterly stumped. And the game's not scary or anything either. Like, but, it's all
that's a requirement for Andy.
Yeah, it's all text. I mean, it describes horrible things. Like, Antiquities describes a lot of the curses that sound but awful.
That's fine. It's just no egregious descriptions or visualizing it. So,
is Andy freaked out by skulls?
No.
Okay, because there's a lot of skulls in Antiquities.
I think that's fine. Gore, though, is bad. Anything that could lead to nightmares. He has nightmare issues, so that's what we really are avoiding.
Lee, I've had nightmare issues lately, too. I woke up my poor husband yesterday morning because something in my dream scared the crap out of me, and I woke up screaming. And it woke up Vaughn, and he was upset, and I felt really bad. And then this morning, I did not wake him up, but something scared me in my dream, and I woke up yelling, "Oh, F," only not censored.
Mm-hmm. That would have been funny if you censored by yourself.
No. There was definitely enough bomb thrown because something really scared me. I can't even describe what scared me. I don't know. Maybe this game's getting to me, and I'm not realizing it. But yeah, fun little game. Normally not my cup of tea, but I like the research aspect of it. It makes me feel like a legit antique dealer. But that's pretty much all I've played.
Antique dealing and trails.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't the only one who took a vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
You were gone, Chris.
Yeah, Andy and I went to Summer Games Done Quick, where we've gone the past couple of years and enjoy ourselves for a week. And then it was fun. Got to watch some runs in person, got to play some arcade stuff, got to hang out in the hotel just away from the bustle of our everyday life. Not that it's super crazy to begin with, but it's nice to just be away for a while and have someone else feed the cats. go ahead.
I think Vaughn was trying to spot you guys in the crowd.
We weren't down there very much. So okay. One of the things that spoils us... So there's two aspects here. The way we vacation now... is the way Andy prefers to vacation, because I lost the argument and I'm adapting. The way Andy vacations is go to a hotel room, be in hotel room, relax, do nothing. Now, Chris originally tried to respond to that, like, we can do that in our actual bedroom without going to a hotel room and save money and still have access to cute kittens. And then he's like, no. Must be away from home. And so I have started to adapt to just chilling in the hotel room for hours, not having any responsibilities, and learning to enjoy that vibe. Whereas originally when I would vacation away, I would try to do all the things in that area to not waste my quote unquote opportunities of what you can do when you're at the other place. And so it's a weird adaptation for me to start like gradually become just a hermit, both when I'm at home and when I'm away on vacation. But I guess that's what we're going for.
See, we really do have contrasting partners, because Vaughn wants to do the Andy thing when we go on vacation, mm-hmm. and I want to do the you thing, yeah. Chris, where I want to go see stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's weird. That said, since Andy and I are both furries, and the furry population, like they're a species that's being extincted. The furry population at Games Done Quick events keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's like a more supported subculture there now, and because they're very open, friendly space for both trans and queer and furries now, and it's great. It's just such a safe space for everyone with various interests and stuff, as long as those interests are cool and we're respectful of each other. And so that's it. Andy's been making friends with a lot of the speedrunning furries, and Andy kind of has speedrun in the past, but apparently that's good enough. You don't need to be an active speedrunner to be in that friend group. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden, I'm having furry room parties when I go to GDQ, and like all the people are coming to my hotel room in full fursuits and hanging out watching Games Done Quick Runs. Oh, that was the other thing I was to say that we're spoiled by. When you're at the hotel for the event, there's a channel on the TV where you get a pristine copy of the stream running all day. You don't have to do internet at all. Yeah, exactly. You just turn to channel, whatever it is, 67 this time. And then you get to watch the stream, have it on while you're getting ready, getting dressed, while you're eating room service or planning where you're going to go to pick up coffee. Yeah, all that stuff. And that's really, really cool. And makes it even harder for us to leave the room.
No, that's perfect though. That way you can still enjoy the stream, but still have the fun of, like, if you want to be social, you can go be social.
Oh, and you remember the guy from Fire Emblem Three Houses who was upside down? No? Different one? No. You remember Reen from Trails of the Sky?
Yeah.
And yeah. Revali from the Tears of the Kingdom? Yeah. His voice actor was there. He's furry, and he was in the room party with us a couple times. So it's like, I've got, like, video game voice actor roomies just showing up, and it's like, what? What is going on? So,
because Sean Chiplock, who is Bubsy's dude voice actor, as well as Kinger in the Amazing Digital Circus, you guys have heard of that show,
so that's
is a huge furry.
Yeah, that's him. That's who was there. So,
oh, so you met Sean Chiplock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He bought pizza for us.
Oh my god! I didn't know. I would have been like, dude, you hung out with Bubsy.
We hung out with Bubsy. Yeah, but nobody is as big of a Bubsy fan as you, I think. So that's not what he was mostly being called out for being.
Well, no, he was probably being mostly called out for being Kinger since.
Which one is Kinger?
That show wrapped up.
Kinger. Oh, I haven't seen Digital Circus. I need to watch it. I know. I better get on that. There's so many shows to watch.
It's actually a really good show, and it's got some existential stuff in it, but it's not scary. I don't know how to explain it. But basically,
I'm not worried about it being scary. Okay. I've seen enough that I'm like, oh, this is fine for me. So I just need to watch it.
It's a really good show. I enjoyed it. Don't listen to the haters whining about the ending.
Well, there's a movie, right, that ends it? So, I don't know.
They took the last two episodes and kind of cut them into a movie and put it in theaters.
Oh.
People complained because they didn't want to have to worry about spoilers for 2 weeks. But them putting it in theaters was kind of a big deal because this is a huge indie animation project. And the fact that it could go to theaters was like a big, big deal.
Okay, got it.
And I want to.
How many episodes is this? How much am I in for? Is this
nine?
One and done? Oh, that's easy. Why haven't I finished this already? That's like one night of Bleach catch up. Come on.
I'd like to see the whole series cut into one big long movie.
Yeah.
Just because I'd be curious how that played.
So the other thing we were doing while going to SGDQ and back is listening to Dungeon Crawler Carl in the car. I'm through all the books except the most recent one. Andy is now on book 4, Gate of the Feral Gods. So we're making progress. Andy's getting caught up on that. And what a freaking, that just keeps getting more popular in the mainstream. And I'm surprised by it. And like now other authors that we used that Andy used to read like a comedic fantasy from are now making lit RPGs because of freaking Dungeon Crawler Carl. It's so wild.
I am desperately trying to get Vaughn into that series.
Vaughn, get into that series.
He would think it's funny. If Vaughn, you liked Ready Player One, this is better than Ready Player One.
This is actually that's not a high bar, and this is actually well written. So that's not a that's not even a comparison.
I know. Because I'd been listening to Dungeon Crawler Carl while I've been working on miniatures.
Says never going to happen. I don't know why. He doesn't want to listen to it for some reason.
He does this when I hype up something.
Oh, have you made... Well, I guess maybe you need to back off a bit and let him, be cool with it. Because anytime you go into something with uber hype, if it doesn't, immediately blow your expectations away, it's going to feel disappointing, even if it's really good and you like it. It's hype is poison sometimes.
But I know, and I know I'm bad about that, especially when it comes to trying to get Vaughn into things. But... put it this way. I've been listening to it while working on my miniatures. Mm-hmm. And there have been multiple times that Vaughn's DM'd me. It's like, are you okay? It sounds like you're crying. And it's like, no.
You're laughing. Yeah.
No, just laughing like an idiot at the achievement caller
new
guy.
Achievement.
where he says the funniest things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell Vaughn because I don't want to spoil the joke. But even though the joke is just made me hurt myself laughing. Because I think in my listen through, I just got to, he just got past the first floor and is going to the second level and had that interview with the crab lady. Does that sound familiar at all?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I in my listen through, I just, Carl just got through the first floor and had the interview with the crab lady.
Yes.
And Princess Donut.
Yep. Oh, that's where you're at? Oh, you're very early.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to listen more. I've been trying to save that book for mini paintings so that I don't chew through all of it and then have nothing to listen to. But it's also been kind of too hot to go into my workshop to paint. But yeah, what I'm saying is I love Dungeon Crawler Carl and I want to get into the rest of the series and I really want Vaughn to listen to it because I know he'll like it. I feel like the first book starts out a little bit slow, but it has a lot of stuff to set up. And like once it gets past the quote unquote tutorial is when it picks up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it took very long at all. So.
And I feel like they have to have the tutorial to explain the video game mechanics to non-gamers that are listening to it, even though I can't imagine.
I think I just have a lot of patience for that, but I'm used to lit RPGs, so maybe that's why. Like, taking forever to explain a world. I like world building, so like taking time to explain esoteric systems that wouldn't work in real reality. Like, I like just listening to the descriptions of those systems. I like hearing the internal logic of this new world. That's what I like about lit RPGs. So the more they spend time reading stat sheets, the happier I am.
So is lit RPG?
I'm weirdo, says Andy.
Is lit RPG a new thing?
It is not that new. How old is lit RPGs, Andy? 20 years, which is technically, you know, new enough, right? But
I've never heard that term before.
I've only heard of it as of the Divine Apostasy series when Andy was reading that at first, which is probably 5-6 years ago, I think. But it is exponentially growing now, especially with Carl going on.
Why are they called lit RPGs?
Literary RPGs. So it's like RPG systems in a game, usually with an isekai type of setting.
Okay.
Does that make sense that way?
Yeah.
And like there's just this subgenre of like having these RPG deep dive MMO-esque type things, or just the real life is an RPG in these books. Just having that as a system and a framing has become its own little subgenre.
Okay.
It's like animes doing deep dive MMOs that you get stuck in. You know, it's that sort of meme genre thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Comparing it to isekai does make sense, since a lot of those isekais kind of have to explain their system as well.
A lot of the anime ones are almost that same sort of thing. Like, yeah, you're in a game world.
Because I swear the first RPG I listened to that kind of felt like that was Ready Player One, but now that you describe it, I don't think that's a good example.
It is not the same style of lit RPG that most people are thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, it is like it's close enough that I think now with the category broadening and stuff that it is probably reasonable to include it in there. But like if you were looking at like kind of, you know, like there's hard sci-fi and soft sci-fi, I think there's like very systems oriented lit RPGs and just kind of like they're in an RPG. Here's the stat menu. We're never going to talk about it again. Sort of lit RPGs. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Oh. The broader, Andy has a broader term called progression fantasy, which is about main character becomes overpowered over time. And like, how do they get bigger and bigger and stronger? And so this also includes cultivation, which is, that came out of, I think, China, which is a lot of like meditating, internalizing power, and abusing systems to make your character become powerful enough to fight gods and stuff like that. So that's a whole, it's a whole other subgenre that has kind of a sister genre, I would say, to this, the lit RPGs. Mm-hmm. And because they're all about overpowered main character becomes more overpowered, usually, not always. And like, what do you do if like you wake up and there's anime like this too, when it, and you get the isekai crossover, like, So I'm a Spider, Now What is one of those where like they die and then they wake up and they're a spider, but they have a leveling interface and system and stuff like that's straight up lit RPG framing. And then Tam will tell me how the end of that story goes off the rails and they jump the shark and it sucks, but that's a different.
partly why I got into isekais was because I love video game-y tropes in my literature, just in, in my entertainment, just because of how many video games I play.
And like, it's very, and this is really just framing, because like, Carl is not a story that's about the fucking RPG. It is a story about capitalism and friendship and drama and all this other stuff. Like,
if anything, Dungeon Crawler Carl is more of a post-apocalyptic literature.
But done in a RPG framing, and I don't know. I think it's just well done, and we're not going to see a lot like it.
I also love pointing out to people that classic literature like Alice in Wonderland and A Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court is
isekai.
Isekai.
Oh, very much. Yep.
Just kind of fries people's brains when you point that out.
First isekai author? Mark Twain.
I don't know
who
Lewis
was first. Lewis Carroll would have been first, right? Yeah.
I would imagine so. Also, Wizard of Oz, that's an isekai too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Got to get my Kansas representation.
Well, she even gets overpowered gear. She gets the slippers. Yeah.
Yes. Though I always have to explain to people, the ruby slippers are an invention of the movie.
Oh, what was it in the books?
Silver.
Silver, okay.
They made the slippers red in the movie to kind of show off the
color. Yeah, because this was like, that was their
This was
thing.
All an allegory for the gold standard.
In the books. Yeah, yes, which the apparently there's like a bazillion sequels and they keep up the money allegory the whole time, which I'm surprised by. I haven't read them, though. This is what somebody was telling me the other day, because I was like, well, you've read them all? Do they keep that money allegory the whole time? They're like, yep. I'm like, wow, how? Like, when it's very clear that your series has become a popular children's series, do you keep going with the monetary system allegory?
Because we're trying to, teach the kids that we should stick to the gold standard, Chris.
Uh-huh.
We're doing it.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, yes, Wizard of Oz, Oz is ounces of gold. This is a whole thing. Go ask your social studies teacher.
Yeah, every time I hear about a new Wizard of Oz movie adaptation, I'm like, are we finally going to get a book-accurate movie? No. Nope, we're just getting James Franco being stupid for 2 hours. I am disappointed. I didn't particularly care.
You didn't care for the Wizard movie? Yeah,
right. Yeah, that one was kind of dumb. I thought Wicked was kind of boring.
I love Wicked's, the actual theater performance. I didn't watch the movie,
I liked the play. I wasn't too much of a fan of the movie.
The Wicked's got a weird thing where the story is kind of better than the music, which is not normal for musicals.
I need to read the Wicked book, because I've heard the book is a little bit more mature.
Well, there's more than just the story doesn't end where the movie and the musical end. It keeps going, so there's more books.
But RPGs.
Oh yeah, no.
I'm surprised there aren't more Wizard of Oz themed RPGs. Given,
I mean,
that
I'm episode. We had the one right, like we did get the, one,
the Exceed one.
Is that what it was? Yeah, for like the DS or something, or 3DS.
Yeah,
yeah. It just was very obscure.
Do we want to talk? Are there any other games we need to talk about? I don't even know where we are anymore in the plan.
I was going to say, you probably didn't have time to play anything.
Josh.
Well, you too, Chris.
No, but you're right, though. I've played Project Gorgon and some Balatro because I saw Balatro run and I was inspired to work more on finishing out my achievements and collection in Balatro, which then I was reminded, oh, that requires me doing a lot of head math and I'm not good at this. But I did unlock a few more cards and that's my Balatro piece. What'd you play, Josh?
Yeah, as Kelly alluded to, I played a little bit of Atelier Yumiya, mostly on the trip over, on the way over and the way back. And then like in little itty bitty bite sized portions, you know, 10, 15 minutes here and there. I think you played this, Kelly, when I was on vacation last year. So I don't, and when I don't think I ever heard what your thoughts were on this one. So what did you think of this game?
I thought it was one of the better Atelier games with the caveat that the alchemy sucks.
Okay. So, like I said, I've been playing this in like 10, 15 minute bites and also playing it, not really giving it, not able to give it 100% attention. So it will teach you something and then, you know, I will not touch it for 3 days and I'll kind of forget what the heck was going on. But it is weird picking up an Atelier game after skipping all of Ryza, mm-hmm. all three games. And you know, like the last one I'm playing was the one they added to the Arland trilogy. You know, very, very traditional Atelier game. And then this one is much more open world and exploration focused. And like you said, the alchemy took me a while to even figure out what the heck was going on with the alchemy system.
Because I played this the same year that I played one of the Ryza games, I think actually two of the Ryza games, because I played one and then skipped straight to three.
Yeah.
And the alchemy in Ryza is extremely addictive and fun to do, and the alchemy in this game is just kind of meh.
Aww.
But you're having so much fun exploring and trying to get to that next map icon that you don't even care that the alchemy sucks. And the trying to open up the different point, how do you put them? The things where you got to put furniture everywhere to get your score up so that you can open up more stuff later on.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know that I'm as into the decorating your atelier as other people are. I was really jazzed for like doing some alchemy. Like for me, an atelier game is, you know, like playing around with the alchemy system and figuring out how to make the super ridiculous bomb that can just like wipe out enemies and, you know, kill a boss in one go, that kind of fun stuff. And this is much more, like you said, it's much more almost I mean, the game it reminds me the most of is like straight up Xenoblade. It is an exploration game. The combat is all action. It's all on cooldown timers. It's like a, you know, Gus version of Xenoblade.
Yeah, it was so weird because even Matt, who played this before I did, was like, yeah, I'd use auto alchemize on everything because the alchemy just isn't that robust like it was in Ryza. But it just like he said, just like me, he couldn't put it down because he loved the exploration so much.
It's getting better now that I'm home and I'm able to play it on, because I just took my Switch with me because I was not gonna risk my Switch 2 on a plane and traipsing around Europe.
I don't blame you.
I was like, if the Switch gets lost or stolen, whatever. If the Switch 2 got lost or stolen, I'd be pretty upset about it. So
yeah,
that was the choice. And boy, like you probably played it on Switch 2, I would guess. It kind of chugs on Switch.
No, I played it on Switch 1 because it's what I brought to Denver last May, and I didn't have my Switch 2 until October of last year.
Okay, so it didn't, obviously, either it gets better or it didn't bother you. It was bothering me at times. It was just slow and chuggy.
Yeah, no, if it was chuggy, I really didn't notice.
Yeah, you were playing it before you had Switch 2, so you were probably used to the slow and chuggy of Switch.
Yeah, that's probably what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's much nicer. It's very noticeable going from Switch to playing it on Switch to playing it on Switch too.
Oh, okay, yeah, because do you have the Switch 1 version, and did you upgrade, or?
Is there an upgrade? I have the Switch 1 version. Is there an actual upgrade you can do? I'm not
to
sure.
be honest,
I haven't
I'm
looked
not
into
sure
it.
either.
Because I think I bought this last year before I went to Scotland and then just did not touch it with the intent of playing it on Switch and just never got around to it.
To be honest, I'm not sure, but
Let me
I
see.
mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it did have an upgrade.
There is a Switch 2 edition. I don't know if I can upgrade to it or not. I'll have to look into that. Paid upgrade for existing Switch users. Yes, there is. Okay, cool.
The real question is if you can transfer the save file back and forth.
I would assume so if they've got a upgrade pack. $10 for the upgrade. Okay, I may end up doing that. We'll see. Although, I mean, like I said, just even playing the Switch on the Switch version on the Switch 2 is just much, much noticeably better.
Probably like night and day.
Oh, God, yeah. Like I said, you'd be out exploring the world, and it'd be, you know, you play it on the original Switch, and it's like, okay, we're maybe like 15 frames a second. Come on, game. Come on. You play it on Switch 2, and it's just butter, you know, no problems.
Wait for everything to pop in as the new environment loads.
Yeah. I mean, like, talking about the alchemy, like, why on earth did they split alchemy between, like, three or four different menus? Like, you have the main alchemy, you have, like, the ones that you can do for the items that you carry around with you, you have, like, a third alchemy, basically, for making stuff to go in your atelier. Like, why on earth did they split that up? It's happened to me, like, in fairness, like I said, I've been playing it very haphazardly. So, you know, like, it will explain something and then I won't touch the game for 3 days and pick it back up and have forgotten what it told me. But it's multiple times where the quest has been to make something and I go to my alchemy system and I can't find it. And I spend like 30 minutes trying to figure it out. And it's like, oh, it's in one of the other things was where I was supposed to make it. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, maybe it's because the quick alchemy menu is more conducive to, say, like a Breath of the Wild, the cooking there.
Yeah. Like you're supposed to be able to do it anywhere.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't want to hamstring you necessarily, but if you need potions or exploration tools, they have to trek all the way back to your atelier as opposed to just being able to just make them right there on the fly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because it does have the mana level that you kind of have to keep track of so that you are able to, you know, it kind of basically becomes the limit on how much you're able to explore is that kind of like goes down. Mm-hmm. You can sometimes find plants that will revive it, but, you know, it kind of like puts a cap on how far you're able to explore before you have to go back to the atelier. Like
yeah,
I said, I was going to gripe about it more like it lacking in, you know, enough fast travel, but some of that may have been just like missed how to do some of them.
It was a good chunk into the game before I realized that some of those rest spots that you could unlock that you could actually decorate them to add to whatever arbitrary score it is to level up the region.
Yeah. It's got a lot of different systems to keep track of.
Mm-hmm. And if you're playing it on the fly, I'm not surprised that you can't keep track of all of them because, like, I marathoned that game.
Yeah. That's definitely the better way to go with it.
But it was one of those games that's like, I pick it up and I get into it and I can't put it down. It's one of those ones that just, I'm thinking about while I'm at work, it's like just one more hour and I can atelier for the rest of the night kind of game.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
I need to play it on, need to sit down and like actually play it on TV. That was my only other gripe is just old man gripe of really small font.
Yeah.
Especially on original Switch. It was better on the Switch too. But original Switch, like tiny font, low res. It was like, man, this is hard to read.
Yeah, I can tell my eyes are getting worse. I probably need to go to the eye doctor and get bifocals.
Oh gosh.
Because that's been a problem a lot for me lately, is not being able to see very good. But at least the text in games. Strange Horticulture was pretty bad about that, to the point where it has a built-in magnifying glass.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Like this is an issue we fixed. Come on, games. We like most good games now have font options where you can go bigger.
And Strange Horticulture, well, the Strange series, Antiquities and Horticulture, did it so that you can change the font to a more readable font.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because
So
it
you can
kind of.
have the stylized, or you can have something that's more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I changed both of them to the readable one because the stylized one was pretty hard to see.
Yeah.
Because those were originally Steam games that got ported to Switch, so I can see why they kind of needed to put in a built-in magnifying glass.
Yeah. That's. It's gonna be tougher. Are you playing them portably or
Yeah,
on
on my
screen?
Switch.
Oh, yeah. So definitely go with the more readable font there,
Yeah.
where it's already a small, tiny screen.
Yeah, they've been my bedtime games. On Switch 2, at least. Oh God, I can't imagine trying to play those games on Switch 1 with the tiny screen.
Tam says some of the DLC for Yumiya is free due to the Caria announcement.
Okay. Yeah, I got to get on the store and download some of that. Maybe I'll play with the upgrade and see what difference that makes.
Yeah, and I picked up the that other Atelier game that came out last year too. That was a spin-off of the mobile game that I need to get to at some point.
Not right now. You got backtrack homework, Kelly.
That's right.
Yeah, backtrack homework and something I'm really looking forward to playing this week.
All right, well, let's move on with the show. What's our feedback looking like?
Well, last week we asked people to pretty much weigh in and bitch about the Sony news.
Boo. I was glad to
Did
miss all that.
you guys have opinions on the Sony news since you didn't get a chance to chat about it?
I don't
I
remember the
mean,
Sony news. I only remember the Xbox news. What's the Sony news?
that they're discontinuing discs by the end of 2027.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
And this
Wow.
was right after killing the license for a bunch of movies in Europe. So people
That
were kind
sucks.
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like movies just disappearing that you paid for.
Yeah, so it was kind of not. Obviously, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing in that instance.
Was not a well-coordinated announcement, no.
Well, I mean, in certain respects, it was, or at least they intended it to be, to slide it in, try and get it in before the Xbox bloodletting they do was coming. I mean, it's been coming for a while. It's a bummer. It also leaves me with very little reason to like stick with console next time. I think I'll just, move over more toward PC.
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
I mean, it's like if there's no physical media, why do I need a console? I can get a PC, I can have everything. It's everything, and I can play around and mess around with it. Even the Valve hardware, they're very open to letting you like, hey, you want to put a different video game loader on there? If you want to figure it out, be our guest. We don't care.
I hate it because of the accessibility issues for people, not only not being
Yeah.
able to do stuff via library, but disabled people like my nephew that don't understand the digital storefront, so somebody has to help him out, as opposed to just him being able to put a disc in and it work.
Well, you can't, you can't give a gift. Well, I mean,
Yeah.
I guess you can, but I don't know, like giving someone a code or a digital card. It's not the same as giving someone something, a nice little physical thing. It's going to be a bummer. You have to have a certain level of like you talk about, Kelly, like you have to have a certain level of understanding of this sort of thing to manage that sort of, oh, I'm going to give this digital game to somebody else.
Well, yeah, because just explaining how the Nintendo Online worked to my sister last year.
Gosh.
So that
I can imagine
her son could have the Switch Online Plus, because he wanted all of the GameCube games on there, and I had to explain this to her.
Have to have this subscription, and then you need to get this additional thing so that you get all the games. And like, what?
I mean, we took care of it, and I got all of those installed for him, but I had to explain to her, like, this is like a Netflix, like, games. He has to maintain this. You have to maintain this subscription, otherwise all this is going to go away.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I am not as staunch no physical, no sale like I was back in the Vita and PSP days. But I just wish that the choice was there for other people, so that if they want to do digital, they can, and if they want to do physical, they can. And I think the more choices are better for everybody all around, instead of, you know, piling everything into one thing versus another.
Yes, but that's only going to work if people are buying them.
Yeah,
I know.
Are people really not buying them, or is Sony just like, we
don't
want
know
the extra money?
I have no insight to that. So.
Well, like Matt said last week, that Sony really fudged the numbers to make the number of digital sales sound higher than it was.
I mean, that's for investors more than anything else. That's not like for making the decision, just to make people feel good about it on Wall Street.
I feel like there's more people buying physical than Sony tries to say.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And my big issue is the pricing, because one of the reasons why I like Steam, and Steam's the biggest thing that people bring up, is that Steam sales happen that make certain games just dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Sony doesn't do that very often, especially not with first party stuff.
Hey, for all the crap that we gave Nintendo about game key cards, it's a sight better than what Sony's solution is. It's just digital only.
Oh, the
suck
the,
it.
The collective of the internet was like, perhaps I judge you too harshly with the key cards.
Who knew? Who knew? Hey, at least you can sell them.
You can sell them. You can trade them.
Can't do that with a download.
It's not the best solution, but it's a solution.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. It's not a surprise that Nintendo is the least bad of those options.
Yep. So that was our question last week.
Oh, man.
People sounding off about that. From Platium, it's been almost a decade since I bought a Sony game physically, and I've never owned a Microsoft console. Meh, let them do what they do. It's the way the world is headed anyway.
I mean, in fairness, I very rarely buy physical anymore. I've gone more digital just because it's, you know, hey, I've only got so much space. So I've gone that way, too. It's just, like I said, I think it's a loss to Sony and Microsoft, because why would I pick one of them over Steam? I if I'm going to go digital only, I think Steam is the better of those options. No.
Yeah. And you talk about pricing, man. I've picked up a lot of PS4 games for pretty cheap, because Amazon and Woot have been selling them for pretty cheap because, well, no, nobody really wants them.
Yeah.
So there's that. From Strawberry Eggs, it's sad to see physical media go by the wayside. I imagine Nintendo will likely follow suit with the next console. I accept it, though, with some reservations. I'm not sure what Nintendo's going to do.
They may be. I wouldn't be stunned if they're the last holdout, since they are so much more kid-focused with their consoles. You want to have that. They want to have that way for, you know, some clueless parent to be able to buy Zelda for their kid.
I don't
know. Maybe it won't be a cartridge anymore. It may be something, you know, a next version of a key card, but
yeah, I guess time will tell.
Yeah. Well, we're a ways away from a Switch 3, I think.
Okay. For this one's a long one. Let me quick get a sip of water.
Prep up.
From Count Discord McGee the Ninth. Short answer, bad. Long answer, arg. Since the Xbox One came out, I felt something was off, and now with Sony's announcement, it's finally crystal clear that these current console makers don't want us to have anything that can be used without their permission.
Oh, I mean, same with the music industry, same with the movie industry. It's like, it's not just it's everybody who makes media. They just want to move on to the digital. And yes, that has downsides. I don't know that everyone even thinks of it as like taking away your rights and getting to charge you over and over. That's just like consequence of moving to the direction things are moving.
Which is funny to me because the music industry was dragged kicking and screaming into digital. They didn't like that one little bit.
No.
But anyway.
And there's real downsides to it. It's not like, it's not for free. It is a change and it has an impact. And the licensing BS is the current one. And why we need to maybe have some regulations around licensings that are more reasonable and not always 100% in favor of the publishers.
I'm not done with this comment, though. Console makers don't want us to have anything that can be used without their permission, which we would be forced to pay for the privilege. Even Nintendo are leaning into it with their game key cards, and they've actually killed their online stores for the DS and 3DS, so you know they'll cut a bitch for profit. There was an article on IGN written by Luke Riley, and he wrote something that I have taken to heart. Quote, however, the facts are in, the standard has been set, you cannot trust digital purchases, and you cannot trust the corporations that offer them.
Yep.
That is the gospel according to Luke. I have such optimism when this started 20 years ago, but after seeing the multiple deaths of digital services and shops, I now have this compulsion to rush through my digital games as quickly as possible because I know there is an end coming and that sucks. This has killed my interest in the next generation of consoles, retro forever, until the discs and media die in the next 20 years.
Yeah. Like you said, don't look up DVD rot.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
Though I think you really only have to worry about that if you don't store your stuff good, I think.
You can delay it to the point where it won't matter much for your life, but it will go bad.
Ah, darn. But you know, there's also the old pirate cap. That's how I've solved some issues recently with some Vita stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't like to encourage it too much, but when it's the only way you can obtain some stuff.
Well, when they shut down the stores, what do they want?
Yeah. Keep the tape circulating, I guess.
Yep.
And then finally, from Shaman, I've already switched over to 95% digital because I don't own my own home and still remember how much of a pain it was to move 5 generations worth of hardware and games when I got renovicted a decade ago. Renovicted. That said, I still believe physical is the best way to go for giving games to people, and Sony moving away from it when PS5 is still likely to be their system of record for the rest of the decade is an unfathomable own goal. And there's an asterisk. If I buy both versions of a Pokemon release, it's one physical and one digital.
I mean, that's the thing. Sony wouldn't be doing this if Microsoft was actually like a reasonable competitor, do we think?
I think they're all going to do it. I think Nintendo's on the way to fully doing it. I think Microsoft is also going to, I think they'll all do it. This is inevitable. It's been, honestly, it's taken a lot longer than I thought it would originally. And that's because people still wanted it and needed it. And internet was not as ubiquitous. And it always gets more and more ubiquitous as time passes. So, wow, I think it's going to happen personally. Mm.
I am just really curious what the console sales are going to be after this goes forward, because I'm with you, Josh. If they give me no choice, I might as well just go PC via my Steam Deck.
Yeah. Steam Deck, PC, maybe build essentially a TV PC for the Steam OS. Yeah.
That's what Vaughn and I were talking. Either that or just getting me a long HDMI cable to go from my personal PC to the TV.
You can do that. I've done that before.
Or, I don't know, maybe me spending some money on a nice gaming laptop for the same purpose. Or heck, I'm just get a Steam machine at this point. Have they said if you're able to upgrade the Steam machines?
I think it's theoretically possible. I'm not sure you would want to do it because it's from what I saw from the breakdowns, it's well, you know, it's a really compact little thing. So it's going to be fiddly to take apart. Theoretically possible. I don't think the RAM is soldered in or anything, but it would be a fiddly process.
I think you're better off just building your own.
Yeah. If that's your thought, yeah, you would be better off just building a mini PC.
Because I have never built my own PC before.
This is not the best time to start.
I know. No.
It's fun, but it's a terrible time to do it.
Yeah.
You get to enjoy all those things of, you know, like plugging it in and then it won't post. And then you're like, why won't it post? And you spend, you know, hours trying to figure it out, only that to realize that, oh, I didn't have the RAM properly, quite seated properly. And, you know,
well, how dare you?
It's fun, Kelly.
I feel like it's a nerd rite of passage, but it also looks like there's a lot that could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, usually it'll be fine, but occasionally you have to do troubleshooting, and that's when things get complicated because you don't have spare parts to troubleshoot with. But like also my last PC, my last two, I just put them together and I did not have issues.
I tell you what, the big plus of it is so nice to have a PC with no garbage that was installed on it.
Oh, God. Mm, yeah.
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 You can do that with any PC, though. You just install Windows Fresh.
Yeah.
Actually, even if you have like a laptop that came with it pre-installed. Oh, wait, no, they OEM. Put that. No, you have to jump through some hoops to do it. Never mind.
Yeah.
New question of the week. How about how you game on vacation?
Yes, I like.
Mm-hmm. Since we have had two people on vacation that had very different styles of gaming, one of them chilling in their hotel room, the other one enjoying the outside like a nerd,
touching grass and all that. What the heck?
But no, I was very jealous of Josh's vacation photos. Sweden looked like a wonderful place to be. Even though you said it was still
hot. No, you're
going to
make him start the slideshow again. Don't.
I'll keep the slideshow to myself. Fine, Chris.
I liked the slideshow. Oh, plus, he had cat photos.
Oh, all right.
I had Italian and Swiss cats. You didn't like the Swiss cats?
No, I just didn't. I wasn't watching that closely. I probably would have loved them. Actually, you did send some cat photos on Discord. Those are great, I think. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the Swiss cats seemed more friendly than the Scottish cats of last year.
Yes, they were. I saw Swiss cats with jobs. There was a Swiss cat running that little shop in Zermatt.
Maybe Swiss cats are more friendly because they get more fed with more cheese.
Oh, maybe.
I have no scientific evidence of this. It was just my guess. Do you want to beat me into the news? We've got Horrorvale having a console release announced. This was a turn-based RPG originally released for PC in 2024, and it is now coming to consoles.
Hmm.
Looks like kind of a horror RPG.
Yeah, but not real spoopy.
Yeah, no, like fun spoopy.
Yeah, this looked cute. I put it on my Steam wish list. This would be like a fun little thing to play in October.
Yeah, I better put this on my Steam wish list too, because it looks cute.
Yeah.
We need more. We as a society need more Halloween themed games. You can only play costume quest so many times.
You're just thinking of planning for backtracks. I know you. You've got ulterior motives.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But also, Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Okay, well, fair.
White Guardian Studios launches a Kickstarter for Alchemic Beasts. This is an exploration and discovery focused take on the monster gaming genre. What are they asking for?
$24,000.
Not enough.
No. Don't make a Pokemon for 24K.
Is there any big rewards that we can talk about? I didn't get a chance to look at this. For $6,000, you can design a full beast evolutionary tree. Create a custom beast and its full evolutionary tree. This includes its three natural evolutions, all of its elemental variants, and their ultimate forms and abilities. Create your beast with the help of the developers. That is 17 beasts in the full tree.
Uh-huh.
So I guess this game, I think it was Monster Crown that had their creatures. They're not necessarily tied to one element type like Pokemon is.
Hmm.
Which I appreciate, because it means that you can basically have whoever you want on your team as long as you have the right element for more balance.
Yeah.
But what's the minimum amount that will get you the game? $20, get your digital copy of Alchemic Beasts. I don't know why I keep trying to insert a syllable there. So there's also a demo out for this game on Steam right now.
Oh, neato.
Okay.
I am looking forward to this game because I love any Monster Tamer. Let's see. SNEG is bringing more PC classics to Steam and GOG. This time around, they're bringing the D&D RPG Pool of Radiance and Ruins of Mythdanor. And it's a post-apocalyptic action RPG, Dark Earth.
These are some vintage CRPGs, boy.
These graphics. Okay.
Oh, and that Dungeons & Dragons game, that Pool of Radiance, Ruins of Mythdanor, that's one game. It sounded like two. But yeah, that looks like an old game, all right.
Yeah. So it's there if you're craving a really old CRPG.
Let's see, metafictional RPG Attack Only is releasing next year. You control a princess who can only attack.
Hey.
This was a really weird video for it, too.
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
It's strange.
Looks like it's on a GBA.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Oh, and it looks like it's got some out-of-game stuff, too.
Yeah. It has some meta things going on, apparently.
That looks kind of interesting. I like games like this, kind of like Inscription, where you're playing a thing, but you're also moving around and outside of the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to wishlist this. The Duskbloods closed network test is set for August. This was that online multiplayer game from Software that they showed in one of the Switch 2 trailers.
The PvPvE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Signups for the test will begin next week. So if you're looking forward to this, I'd say sign up now. I don't know if anybody on our crew is looking forward to this game.
Not a big From Soft person.
Ah.
Chris doesn't really play PvPvE, do you?
No, I don't. No.
Yeah.
I had a feeling, because I think we were both pretty mad on that Elden Ring one that they came out with a while back. But anyway. Where Winds Meet is getting an update released next week called The Hidden Mountain. I'm introducing a new region and an Eastern steampunk aesthetic.
Mm.
Were you still playing this, Chris?
No, I haven't played it in a while. That was a fun open world one, but has like a lot of the AI stuff in it going on. But it's still going. I don't know. I don't hear people talk about it, though.
Well, if you're still playing, there you go. Spiderweb Software has started its GeneForge 3 Detonation Kickstarter campaign. I know we've talked about Spiderweb software stuff before. Let's see what the Kickstarter. They are raising... Oh, they've met their goal. They were raising 30,000 and they're at 58,000, which is good.
Yeah.
Their top tier pledge. $1,000, add a new quest. You can work with Jeff Vogel to design a quest line in Geneforge 3 Infestation. Ever dreamed of being a game designer? We're adding new lore and chaos to the world of Geneforge, and you can help. These quests are pretty cool and involved within reason. Also gets you the closed beta of Geneforge 3. Was that one already taken up? Oh, no, that one didn't have a limit either, so there you go. $20 gets you a copy of the game.
Windows and Mac.
Yeah. I've said before, there's a very interesting GDC talk from Jeff Vogel about this company and how they've got like a niche little fan base and they make just enough from each game to fund the next game in their various series. And it's just kind of I just thought it was a neat little insight into a very indie niche studio before indie niche studios were even sort of a thing.
He's been around for eons and eons. And I mean, hell, he's been doing Kickstarters as long as I've been doing RPG Cast.
it was just a fascinating look into that world. And I appreciate the moxie.
I need to play one of these games because they always have like interesting concepts in them. I just don't have the same sort of nostalgia for like older style CRPGs, so I don't know how I would get on with it, but I need to try one sometime.
Yeah, because these are like hardcore old school CRPGs.
Yeah, like this is the older Baldur's Gate type things, right?
Yeah. Very much one of those where it's like, oh, you can do anything. You can side with the bad guys. You can, you know, fight the man, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Who like that?
Yeah.
What else have we got? Landgreaser Sea of the Sword for announced for PC and mobile.
Oh, I got excited for a second. Then you had that last word there, Kelly.
A PC and mobile.
Yeah, mobile. Oh, iOS, Android. It's going to be terrible, isn't it?
I mean, how good was the Fire Emblem mobile game?
Is that still even around? If they killed that already?
Fire Emblem Heroes! Would shout so loud.
That one's still around. Their other one, has it already died? I can't even remember.
The one that was like the shadow dropped?
Yeah.
Weird traitor one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that one. I barely remember that one even exists.
I downloaded it, played it once, and was like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah, and this trailer like makes it look like it's going to be a big epic thing and then mobile.
Yeah, you know it's not. It's iOS and Android.
Also, Landgreaser is the one that's kind of like Fire Emblem, but you have the main unit along with the kind of side units that are part of your main unit, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's the one where it's basically you got troops. Each one is like essentially like leading troops, essentially, is the kind of the conceit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I had played the remakes and I thought that they were a very unique take on that system. Mm-hmm. But moving on, Robot Rhapsody has a Kickstarter campaign underway. This is a pixel-based art RPG said to offer a cyberpunk odyssey of technocults, rebels, and robotic bards.
This one looked pretty cool. It kind of had almost like the palette almost is Genesis-esque, although like probably more like Saturn-style graphics, wouldn't you say, Kelly?
Yeah. It actually kind of looks like Cosmic Star Heroine to me.
It does kind of remind me of Cosmic Star Heroine.
Let's see.
It's kind of neat looking.
Trying to find all of the backer things. For $750, you can very limitedly design an optional boss. So they probably won't let you put in an inflated furry character from what it sounds like.
Aw.
Why not?
Probably because they have an aesthetic they want to stick to.
Fine, I guess they can do that.
For $35, oh, you get the game and the OST. I think, yeah, that. Well, there's the $5 credits tier. Okay, the game tier. They don't have these in an order that makes sense. The game tier for $25 gets you a digital.
Not to be confused with the game gear. Very different.
Graphics a little too advanced for game gear, unfortunately. Traveling at Night has a demo that is set for August. This is a narrative CRPG that's planned to release next month. Or the demo is planned to release next month.
Very much Disco Elysium inspired. Mm-hmm. We are in that space where all the people that were inspired by that to make that kind of game are, they're all coming out.
In some cases, by the original people, since
that studio bloated, yeah.
Yeah. Altered Alma receives an updated demo and a new trailer. This demo features a variety of improvements, and this is a Metroidvania / action RPG.
A thing. Pixel, that's what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pixel art style. Nice,
not for me.
If it's not a Souls Metroidvania, I'd be interested in it. I don't like the Souls ones. I just like being able to slash things.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a new Path of Exile expansion, Chris.
We do. I know nothing about it, so educate me, Kelly.
Okay.
I know this is where I should be on top of it, but like, if you haven't noticed, Project Gorgon has displaced even Path of Exile.
Ooh. Goodness.
Yeah, I gotta fix that.
Is it time for something to replace Project Gorgon?
No, it's time for me to figure out how to play both at once.
Can you clone yourself?
No, not yet.
Then I don't think it's possible, I'm afraid. So this expansion, it sees players joining Corsair Captain Valerie and her navigator Vesper.
Okay, it's a pirate expansion? I think I'm in then.
As they uncover treasure charts and seek to board the legendary vessel known as the Sovereign.
Mm.
So yeah, it looks like you're going on expeditions into the depths from inside the Batisphere and exploring the seafloor. And yeah, it sounds like a nautical-themed expansion. From what I can tell. Sound interesting?
Yes.
This next one I'm really excited for. Final Fantasy Resonance has more characters and gameplay details revealed.
This looks really good.
Yeah. How to summarize this? Because the blurb just says introduces new characters and gameplay information. Supposedly this is chapter one, or like the main story of Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
I never played Brave Exvius, so I don't know.
Yeah, I never got around to that either. Combat makes uses of visions, which are crystallized essences of legendary heroes from the Final Fantasy series. I learned via an information video this week that apparently Ariana Grande was in the mobile version of this game, but will not be featuring in this version. Did anybody want to play a Nomura-designed Ariana Grande?
Yeah, kind of, but that's weird. Sounds a little gimmick.
That doesn't sound too weird to me.
But wait, I'm confused. What's the link to the mobile game about here?
It's an offline version of the Brave Exvius mobile game.
Brave Exvius. Why did they change the name so much?
Don't know. Maybe they wanted to get away from it so people wouldn't think it was just mobile game trash.
Okay, but I think we're going to see through that.
I don't know. That's just my crackpot theory. Whether or not it's true, I couldn't say.
Game theory.
But Chris, the important thing. They have mechanical robot chocobos.
Robo chocobo?
Robo chocobo.
Robocobo? Robocobo, bobo, a bobo, adobo?
It's funny on Backtrack Wednesday night, we were talking about the dumb things that you used to pronounce wrong because you didn't hear any audio of it back in the day. I used to call them Chewbaccos.
Chewbaccos.
Yeah.
This is the latest hairy taco from Taco Bell. Get your Chewbacco today.
I don't even know how to explain where that came from. It's just I read it as Chewbacco.
Oh, for Chocobo. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Chewbacca.
No.
Chewbacco and Chocobo get in a teleporter and they merge and we have Chewbacco.
Yeah. And one of my friends corrected me pretty quickly. Like, no, it's Chocobo.
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 I have heard a lot of Chocobo, though. And it's like, that's probably not accurate, but also that's fine. There's worse. Bobo. The real question is Wark versus Kwe. Well, not question, but the real test, I guess.
I'm team Wark.
Mm.
Side question of the week. Are you team Wark or team Kwe?
Team Kwe.
Kwe.
Actually, I'm team which is neither of those sounds. So, like, I don't know.
Anyway, also, sad news, the mobile version of Final Fantasy 14 is coming to a fairly swift end.
Did it ever have a start?
In China.
Okay.
The game's current Chinese version will close in September, and the global version is canceled. I didn't even know they had announced a
canceling
mobile version.
The Chinese version of FF14, Andy. Did you even know it was a thing? Yeah, mobile. All right, he did know.
So, I don't know, pour one out, I guess. Nobody really seems that upset over here.
No.
Plus, it seems like a pretty dense game to try to play on mobile.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be a challenge.
And then, finally, Bethesda notes that Fallout projects are in development.
This is great. I watched a fan video of this one. And it was like, basically, Bethesda screwed up so much on Fallout, like not doing anything with it, that they're going to let Obsidian do it.
Well, isn't that good?
Obsidian, it's great. Good, it's great
Fallout
news.
Game, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, Obsidian is like, if you follow its heritage far enough back, I think you actually get back to Fallout.
Yeah.
And it sounds like their new project is going to involve original creators of Fallout and stuff like that. It's like, so this could be great. Or it could be like a sequel to an 80s movie nobody asked for. We'll see how it goes.
I was about to ask, is there anybody left at Bethesda to even mess with this?
Oof.
What, Bethesda? We don't want them touching it. But at Obsidian and the people they've announced who they're going to bring in and work with, like, yeah, we want
them. Okay.
And you know, they're still working on that next Elder Scrolls game.
I shouldn't say that so derisively. Some people really like Fallout 4 and they want another one in that style. I don't, but some people do, and I should acknowledge that.
Which one was the one that was good? Was that New Vegas?
New Vegas is the one
New
that
Vegas,
is
that's
popular
Obsidian.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the writer of that one got canceled, so.
Got canceled as in internet jail?
Like Chris Avalon? Whatever, that doesn't matter right now, so forget Chris Avalon. Something Sawyer is like the actual main director designer of that, of New Vegas, and he's still there. He would be involved in this new one, it sounds like, so we like that.
Okay,
that'd be good.
Gotcha. Well, that was all the news. Now just some new release dates. Montabi is adding a Switch and Switch 2 version. This is a creature collecting roguelike deck builder that we're
You're correcting sounds.
Yeah. My bad. That's going to release on all currently revealed platforms in August. That is Montabi. So we got Graphite is releasing.
Well,
later
are you going to buy
month.
This though?
I'm
it's
curious
a creature
about
collector.
It. Yeah.
Get all of them. Oh, but the battle system is Battle Network. All right.
That doesn't necessarily bother me anymore. I mean, I played Moonstone Island, and that was card stuff. Oh, and there's a demo, so I can check it out.
Of the demo era we're in right now,
Graphite is releasing later this month. This is about a child bringing his own pen and paper campaign to life, and is going to release on PC on July 27th. And the fights with 2D Paper Mario.
Quite literally, yeah, like the hand-drawn things taken off and cut out, fighting one another.
Interesting, the backgrounds are color, but like all the characters are not colored, because
yeah,
I guess the backgrounds are like your desk or living room table and stuff.
And there's a demo for this too, so gosh, so many stuff that I'm wishlisting today just because it looks interesting. Were any of you guys interested in Octopath Traveler 1 and or 2?
I was, but then it was in my Humble Bundle for the month, so now I think I've got it all on Steam.
Ah, so you're not interested in a Switch dedicated Switch
2? I am not, no.
No.
Because they... And,
why would you need a Switch 2 upgrade for this game?
I don't know.
How about if I sold it to you for $74.99 with no upgrade path from Switch? Would you be interested then, Chris?
I would have very choice words for you that I can't say on this show.
Is that for both games or just the one?
That's both. They're okay. 60 individually.
The heck?
No upgrade. No compatible saves.
I mean, $74.99 for both of them is a nice deal, but...
Yeah, but only in a vacuum before they existed. Not now.
You could probably get them pretty cheap now, like on the eShop.
They say individually available physically. I wonder if it's a cart, though.
Yeah. Game key card. Yeah.
Is it? Oh,
yes, great. It is.
They say physically and digitally, and it's a freaking key card. How dare you? Saying it's physical, but it's a key card. Read the room, Square Enix. Oh, right. You don't know how to do that.
I don't know. Maybe they're just fishing out there for the people that didn't experience them the first time around, even though you could probably pick them up for pretty cheap on Switch 1.
Or Steam.
Yeah. Or Steam.
And there's no real reason to... I mean, you're not missing anything. Yeah, well, let's move on. We're mad now. I want to hit it with a baseball bat, Kelly. Can you help me with that?
Beto Fight Part-Time Devil Hunter releasing in August. But how do you say that? Beto Fight? Bite-sized baseball-themed devil hunting life sim RPG. That is some adjectives. Features 1-bit graphics. What?
So like Atari style graphics, I think, right? Like 2600 even? Or maybe even less than that?
This is like calculator game.
Yeah.
Monochrome. Of course, that there's some red text in there. But no, when I think 1-bit, I think calculator, since it's on and off.
All right, we have an issue with the bit stuff. Are we talking color, or are we talking computational power?
Color.
Okay, because like 1-bit graphics is just black and white. So yes, that's fine then. But sometimes people talk about it like 8-bit or 16-bit style, and they don't mean color depth. They mean this is the style used on consoles that had 8-bit processors or 16-bit processors.
Yeah.
Which probably did lead to restriction of an 8-bit or 16-bit color palette, but like, yeah, I don't know. That's complicated. Nobody cares. We'll move on.
Oh, I only commented on that because I feel like I'm somewhat of an expert on calculator stuff because my husband was a calculator dev for the TI-83, made his own indie RPGs, and has told
me... You married a calculator?
Huh? I married a calculator dev.
Did he use level 5 love potion on you?
No.
Mm.
Oh, you're talking Final Fantasy Tactics. No.
I'm conflating all the things together right now just to confuse you. Yes. No.
He made his own calculator games back in the day for the TI-85.
I like to download them. I never made them.
Wait. He said that
I tried to make a blackjack. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, he he basically learned how to do a lot of that stuff on his own, like as a teenager, and was explaining to me that, yeah, doing calculator games is, as he put it, programming as close to the metal as possible, because you have the pixel on and you have the pixel off. And listening to him talk about that stuff has always kind of fascinated me. I love talking programming with him. I'm surprised he's not chiming in.
Busy making a new game?
He's probably busy messing with his printer right now. I don't know. I was hoping he would chime in, but he's not. I hear him yelling from downstairs and or upstairs, and I can't hear him. I'm just going to move on. Lunarium is releasing on PC in a couple of weeks. It is an isometric action RPG following Ave and Lune on a journey to save their homeland. Action RPG with a very unique art style. Nobody seems to care.
Mm-mm.
Celestial Return is now out on PC. What is this? This is a narrative RPG. Also planning on releasing on consoles early next year. We've got a Switch 2 version of Starbites out now, and you can upgrade this one.
They must not be Square Enix. Figured this out. Yeah. Only $5.
I don't think it's necessarily figuring it out as is just giving a shit.
Yeah, not hating their customers like that.
I feel like Square's issue is just apathy.
No, it's money.
That too.
Why not both?
Oh, let's see. Hercules no Aku, Titan no Metsubu. Oh god, I am butchering this. Hamster has announced another classic RPG console release under its console archives label. This is the second Glory of Hercules titled to come to PS5 and Switch.
It's another one of those where they've it's not localized, but they've localized the instruction manual so that you can kind of figure out how to play it, but the game is still in Japanese.
Yeah, that's odd. Yeah, the console archives thing is confusing to me, because a couple of weeks ago, it's like, wait, they put the original Tekken on the Nintendo under the console archives brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
My poor little brain can't compute this.
Station's old. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very retro.
Digimon Up has been released. It is a free-to-play mobile title. That's a monster raising RPG. After you said something, Josh, I actually downloaded this.
Oh, really?
I was curious about it. It's just a little auto battler with the Digimon.
Yep. It's very much like the ad was very much like, you know, you're old now. You've got a job and real responsibility. You don't got time to be training it. But, you know, hey, you probably got money. So, you know, no time, but you got money. We can make those things equal out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was highly disappointed that one of the starter Digimon was not Gatomon. I should have just deleted it off of my phone right then and there. But no, I started with Renamon, which I only know because it's very much furry bait. So yeah, I'll be curious how much I stick with this. Hellslave 2 Judgment of the Archon releasing in early August. This is a dungeon crawling RPG that will be available on PC via Steam. Sounds like it's a Diablo clone. I'm not sure. I skipped a story. I'm sorry. Star Ocean has a Switch 2 version
released. Also, no upgrade path.
Because it's Square Enix.
Yeah.
How much are they charging?
$50.
I mean, that's better than Octopath, but not much.
I mean, this was a PSP game when it came out on PSP. It was $40. So.
No, this was not. The remake here, it was not a PSP game.
Yeah. This is just the PSP. This is this is taking the PSP version.
This, right? I imagine
this is the HD 2D version. When did it first come out?
Is this HD 2D?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
See, I thought it was just the PSP version with a spit
it's
shine.
Okay, hold on. It's in the story. Second story are this version, this remaster version, came out for PC, PS4, PS5, and Switch 1 in 2023.
Okay.
But yeah. It's not the PSP it. One.
I love the PSP one.
I don't remember hearing people talk much about this one.
No.
They played through it again and like, yep, it's Star Ocean, and the food doesn't look like garbage anymore.
There's a lot of weird nostalgia for Star Ocean, given that back in the day it was heavily advertised on Cartoon Network.
Mm, makes sense.
And I'm sure a lot of budding RPG game or RP gamers who got into RPGs via Final Fantasy VII were chomping at the bit for any other RPGs at the time, is my theory, at least. So there's that. We already talked about Hellslave. Mistfall Hunter is launching on July 29th. This is a third-person PvPvE extraction RPG that will be available for PC and consoles.
Looking through this trailer, trying to find gameplay. Oh, there it is, halfway through.
Yeah. So, there we go. That was all the news. Two new early access stories. Expedition Samurai is releasing into early access next month by THQ Nordic and Campfire Cabal.
Going off some of the companions in the new trailer.
Yeah. And then we've got Emberville coming to early access in October. And they released the voice cast. So I recognize Matt Mercer and Ben Starr on this list.
So previously they announced Alex Jordan, Doug Cockle, Abubakar Salim, and Amelia Tyler, but I don't know most of those names either.
And Emberville kind of looks like a Stardew Valley clone.
What? But with voice acting. That's cool.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's more. Yeah, it looks like it's more than just a clone.
Yeah. So, no, sorry. That was just the first glance.
But also, I don't know. Like, they seem clearly inspired.
You must rescue townspeople stranded in the procedurally generated
Vitramodus. It's got so it's got Diablo as well. All right, fine.
And you're trying to rebuild a town. So it looks kind of cool.
This could be good. This could be addictive. Diablo plus town building? I like the sound of that.
Let's wishlist it. I'll be curious how Steam Deck compatible it is.
Yeah, like, oh, it's already on my wishlist and I'm following it. That's funny. So I've seen this before, apparently, and forgot. I don't care about early access, though. Let me know when it's out, you know? And you know what I can tell you about? Games that are coming out this week. We have the Necromancer's Tale, which is, I feel like we talked about that already. I guess not this week. That's for PC and Mac. It's an RPG from Psychic Software and Silver Lining Interactive. We've got Cyberpunk 2077 Mac port. Neverwinter Nights 2 Enhanced Edition for PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. We've got Eden Zero for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. We have Puella Magi Madoka Magica Magia etc. for PC.
Those were words.
Madoka Magica, yeah. Anime game.
Sure. Yep. That's all I know. And here it is on Steam.
Sad anime game.
It's a sad anime game?
Yeah.
Oh. It doesn't look sad.
Anime, yeah.
Yes.
Well, that makes me depressed then. All right. Recent reviews, very positive. This has been out on PC for a while. So what's actually happening?
This is
a new one. This is a new version or a new thing. I don't know.
Madoka Magica is a deconstruction of the magical girl anime tropes.
Yeah.
I was going to say it had a very Cardcaptor vibe, but like, I guess that's intentional.
Yeah.
What is this from new one about?
Sakura, like,
I have to be careful here. I may have given you some bad info from the release page. This could be a Japanese-only release or something. So, apologize if that's wrong. Oh, hold on. This is really confusing. It's free to play currently on Steam. So then what's happening This came out last year. What is happening? Am I on the wrong year? I've done that before. Oh, no. Did I do the wrong year for the release dates? One moment. Third, let's double check. Oh, I didn't. Okay. This Madoka, Monoma, Madoka, Magica, Mumu. To get you the story. Wow. I have to issue a retraction. I don't know where my link for Puella Magica this thing came from, because I can't find it now on the sheet I thought I took it from. So somehow while compiling this stuff for today, I put together stuff from this year and last year. let's remove that.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
You've been on vacation.
Yeah, I don't understand how I did that, because clearly not on this page. All right. And so is the Neverwinter stuff correct? Or is that also a lie? Yeah, the Neverwinter's a lie. That was last year. Cyberpunk a lie too.
It could have been.
Yep, Cyberpunk's a lie. That was last year. Yep, that's a lie. What about the Necromancer? No, that was last month. What the hell's happening?
Is the cake a lie too?
I don't know what's going on, but something is happening. Is Wikipedia gaslighting me?
Could be.
Yeah, because the Sky of Mayhem is next week, right?
All right,
yeah.
So I'm going to look at the source directly and just walk through this again from the 11th. All right, so it's the 18th, so 18th through the 25th. Let's start on the 18th. Anything we have? Ova Magica, a port of the farming monster tamer RPG to Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. We have Tears of Metal, an early access action roguelike. We have Disgaea Mayhem, as you pointed out. Yep. Mm-hmm. We have Dino Blade, an action RPG, also coming out. And we have Final Fantasy X-10-2 HD Remaster. That's happening this year. It's a port to the Switch. I'm sure they will charge you $1 billion for that port. Yep. We have Dragon Sword Awakening, a re-release on PC. What else? No, that's next week. And that's it.
And, you know, to be fair, as much crap as we give Squeenix for being port happy, I appreciate that they do make their older stuff available, because you never know, the Switch 2 could be somebody's first console. Yeah. I just don't understand why you'd spend that much if you can find the Switch version for dirt cheap.
Well, Kelly, we'll fix that problem in the future. There won't be physical games and you won't be able to.
Solved!
I mean,
yay!
I know Squeenix has sales all the time, and I can't imagine the Switch version being more expensive than the Switch 2 version on the digital side.
Well, that's the thing. It'll be digital in the future, and they'll just get rid of the old version.
True.
New version, and we'll charge $10 more for it.
Yeah, that certainly pokes holes in my argument, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So we've got our editorials. First editorial is our RP Gamer's Favorite Settings Part 2, going into, talking about the incredible worlds that players are able to visit across the RPG universe, and these are the remainder of the settings that we were talking about.
Like Mass Effect and Zemaria and all kinds of stuff. Xenoblade.
We've got an editorial about Final Fantasy X-2 from Elena Ng. Often neglected by fans for taking a divisive direction away from its critically successful progenitor. That was a USA thing. Japan loved this game. But Elena takes a deeper dive into the game's choices and examines what makes it a bold sequel worthy of praise. I thought 10-2 was brilliant. I got this for Christmas that year and couldn't put it down. My only complaint was some of the minigames sucked. I'm looking at you, Shinra, Anyway, wow, this blew my mind. We got an interview with Yoshitaka Amano.
Wow.
Talking job, about, yeah, talking about his upcoming animation project, Zan. Did he ask any Final Fantasy questions, or was it just about the...
I assume not, because...
Okay.
You're supposed to ask about the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Amano, I believe, has only done one other animation project, and it was an anime called Eternal Egg that was an OVA that got re-released recently. It was notorious for the American version having live-action segments that had nothing to do with the anime back in the day, but they re-released it recently as it was intended without the crap that America tried to force into it. So, didn't know if anybody knew that. I can't even see if they talked about it or not in the interview, but anyway, moving on. We've got an interview about .hack0 from CyberConnect 2. Who did they talk to? The company's vice president, Tachiro Miyazaki, talks about the .hack franchise. We've got a Frosthaven interview with game director, oh god, I'm going to butcher this, Petkov. Frosthaven is the board game that is becoming a game currently and has been in early access.
It's the sequel to Gloomhaven.
Yeah. We've got a Demon's Night Fever interview from Arc System Works with Sohei Nikihawa about that game's concept, combat design, story, and art style.
Ellie, look at the stream.
Excuse me. Oh, Kitty.
This is a character game? In this game. Yep. And it's their favorite character.
Demon's Night Fever. Well, I was wanting to look into it because...
Well, now you have to.
Well, the Arc System Works makes some amazing fighting games, so I was curious if this was it looks like a tactical RPG. But it's got a pretty cool art style.
Kitty with a cape.
And a kitty. So we're going to wish list.
To kill them all. Yep. That's on a Kelly wish list. And continuing, there's an impression from the Anime Expo about that game, so you can read some more about the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
Along with other impressions of Silver Palace, which, what in the, is that a, what is this?
Don't know.
Open world action RPG, sounds like. Okay, with cool looking art style. Very fantasy, brought to life sort of thing. Then another one of Miracy Invisible Future, which is a, let's see, is it a gacha RPG or does it just seem like one? Yeah, it's a gacha. It might seem like it's gacha RPG, and okay, yeah, it is one. With some turn-based combat and good story stuff, possibly. Then what do we got? Full Steam Ahead number 3. So that's Michael Baker going through their backlog.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have finally JRPG July week 1 roundup. We would have week 2 as well, but somebody's behind.
I don't know whose husband that is.
I don't know who could. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he need to fire himself?
You need to fire yourself, Andy. But as far as week 1, you can see what everyone's been working on playing. Oh, and you can see Andy with Sean Triplock at SGDQ.
Oh, in that article?
Yeah. We put a picture up of it. Hold on, stream here.
God, you guys talked with Bubsy and didn't even tell me. What friends do you are? I'm teasing, by the way.
Actually, Bubsy.
Bubsy in my heart.
Okay, fine.
Oh, Joseph Tingle is doing Wild Arms for the first time. I'm curious what they think.
Tell you what I'm curious about.
Hmm.
What our question of the week is.
Tell us how you game while you're on vacation. Do you do the Chris method and stay in the hotel room and chill? Or do you do the Josh method and actually go outside and touch grass?
Or, but that's not gaming. If you leave, that's the opposite of gaming is going outside and doing touristy things.
But like, you know, I mean, other, I mean, you can kind of write your own little mini essay about this too, because like, I have a tradition where if there's a new Shin Megami Tensei game out, I wait to play it while I'm on vacation, because it just kind of so happened that our vacation coincided to a couple of the DS releases a long time ago, and I just made it a tradition. So you can talk about stuff like that, or what kind of games you pick up while on vacation if you go abroad.
Yeah, I'm curious what people bring with them. Do they just like game on their phone? Do you bring, do you still bring a Switch or a 3DS or something with you?
Like the last time we went to Japan in Osaka, I brought my extra Switch dock with me so that I could play on the TV, but ended up not using it because the TV in the room was so tiny that it made no difference. But it was a thought. Yeah, just tell us about your gaming vacation style. I think it's a nice tie-in and a nice break from the sad ones that we've had recently. Oof.
Yeah. Rough summer for gaming.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks that the industry sucks. This is why you support indies, because they're doing the stuff that the AAAs aren't. And on that, on that sad note. Sorry, I didn't mean to drag everybody
It's
out.
Fine. What are you going to play this week, Kelly?
Disgaea Mayhem.
Woo-hoo. Josh?
I'm going to try the Switch 2 version of Yumiya.
Mm.
See if that's any different.
Actually, come to think of it, I think I'm going to change my pre-order to the Switch version of Disgaea Mayhem so that I can keep on going with Trails.
Bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to play, Chris?
Oh, like I know? Play some Project Gorgon, of course. But outside of that, I need, something on Steam?
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Find a demo.
There are a lot of demos. I even have some installed. I just haven't played them because that would take time away from my other game, which is probably something I need to start doing more now. So with that, I'm going to say thank you to everybody involved in today's show. Everybody in our chat room on twitch.tv/RPGamer, where you can watch the show live every week at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We have Kelly and Josh. Thank you for being on today. And we have you who downloaded the thing. We have Dale North for the music theme. And we have Alex Fuller for help putting the sheet together and stuff, and as well as Tam, and then Hendekable, who'll probably help with titles if they're here and whatnot. And as always, I hope you enjoy the show, and we will see you next week. And please, in addition to telling us how you do vacations and how you integrate video games into them or not, if you have suggestions for the show and things you'd like to see changed or improved, tell me. I'm in one of those moods where it's like, let's make changes to the show if it's a good idea. So tell me. All right. I think that's it, and we'll catch you in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.